our weekly session with Flo Tess, your first lady of the Eugene sports scene. Find all she's up to with KEZI Sports, channel 709 in high def on your Xfinity system. Catch up online, KEZI.com. Follow her on Twitter. Use the handle at Kristen E. Rogers. KR, a most fine Friday to you. How are things?
Things are great. It's fall here, Steve. Like, it's like finally feels like fall, even though we're only going to get it for a day before. Apparently, it's supposed to be like 75 and sunny for the game at Austin tomorrow, which I'm not complaining about. I will put that out there.
Now, one of your good friends is a meteorologist, so are you trying to pull inside information on me?
No. Marissa's actually back east right now, and Marissa Walls, and our chief meteorologist for today's year, 9 years. She is back east right now. I'm hosting a fall foliage tour. So she is taking a group of like 50 people around the East Coast looking at leaves.
Interesting. And being from there, it is magnificent. I want to start with your trip to the Midwest. You apparently did not get lost in a cornfield.
No, I made it out.
We always hear about legendary college venues, the SEC, Ann Arbor, and of course, Memorial Stadium, home of the Huskers, who've sold out each game since I was two. Did it live up to what you expected as a college football fan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the atmosphere was unreal. And how terrifying is it when you have 90,000 fans and they're all in Husker red? And I think what's most terrifying is looking into the end zone. And, I mean, there's no break. There's no walkways. I mean, that is just a legitimate wall. It looks like a brick wall with, like, each person being a red brick. I mean, that is terrifying as a quarterback to look up over your O-line and seeing just that sea of red. I mean, it was a really cool atmosphere. You know, after their first touchdown, they let go of all the red balloons. And they just have a bunch of great traditions. And then everyone there was just so nice. I mean, I feel like that was the biggest takeaway, whether it was media or fans that I've talked with, just about how nice everyone was in Nebraska. You know, they kept going on about how they actually secretly love Oregon and they love all the uniforms and everything like that. So it was a really, really cool experience. I have to say, having covered Oregon State, Mike Riley's last year, it was pretty awesome to see Mike Riley, Mark Banker, Coach Cav, all those guys out there. It was still weird seeing them in Nebraska colors, though.
It was awesome. You were there after the game, obviously. I look at that game, not a lot of gray. Oregon did some things well, some areas they struggled. A young team at that place. In speaking with the coaches and players post-game, did they see any benefit to losing a close game on the road with such a young team, or was it mostly frustration about what could have been a really big win?
Well, I think the immediate response was frustration, and in large part because they had, 13 penalties for 126 yards. I mean, all of these mistakes that they made were self-inflicted, and really their message after the game was, we lost because of ourselves. We lost because we beat ourselves in this game. And so that's obviously frustrating to see from the team there. So their immediate reaction was frustration. However, talking with Helfrich, just 24 hours later on Sunday when we got back into Eugene, he said that, you know, every team kind of sometimes needs a slap in the face to, get the team going again, expose their weaknesses, and allow them a chance to work on them. So I think the timing of it is okay, especially as, you know, it's end of non-con. You're heading into Pac-12 play now. Can kind of, give them an idea of where they stand. A lot of the players were relating it to the Michigan State loss last year, and I can see why. On the road, crazy environment, Big Ten environment, and, a tough loss. So I think Oregon definitely earned some up-downs. Mark Helfrich was joking yesterday that even the coaches got in on some of the physical activity and the punishment there. So I think the Ducks really understand, the loss that they had, and they're reacting well to it is what they're telling us.
We continue with Kristen Rogers, KEZI. Let's get to something light because while I've been tired of the uniform debate since like 2003, they roll these out in honor of the Duck. Anybody who goes to your Twitter account would see that you're obviously a big fan of the Duck. I'm a huge fan of the Duck. These uniforms, what did Coach Elf have to say? And as a young fashionista yourself, what did you think?
Okay, so first of all, I will say I like the uniforms. I think they're great. You know, as a reporter, I always try to be unbiased, but I mean, I think it's a cool idea. I know some Oregon State fans are freaking out, or some of the Oregon fans are freaking out. Oh, we have orange on our uniform. Calm down. Like, if you're going to get upset about orange being on your uniforms, that's like being upset that the Duck has orange feet in general. I mean, that's just a silly argument. But then talking with Helfrich after, yeah, I jokingly asked him yesterday in the midst of very serious questions. I said, Mark, this is a lighthearted question, but what are your opinions on the uniform? And he says, well, it's the greatest mascot in all the world, so why wouldn't I like it? He did joke about the orange, that some of the players are thinking about going deer hunting after the game, because that's a bright orange. I mean, we saw these players have been working out in those cleats all week, and you can see they're joking they're called, like, duck a l'orange cleats, and they're bright. I mean, that is, like, I can put those on the side of the highway, and I will not get in trouble with ODOT because I look like I have a safety vest on. I mean, those are some bright orange cleats and bright orange socks, but I think they look cool.
I love them, and I usually don't get too involved. All right, let's get nuts. Let's get back to football. Tough loss, young team. Now they're home. Conference play starts. From what the coaches and guys have had to say after practice all week, what's the word as far as how they've responded to the loss to the Cornhuskers?
Yeah, I mean, they've all said that they feel like they've responded really well. And talking with Dakota in Nebraska, Dakota Brukoff, he said that, you know, he was happy kind of that some of the guys had their heads hanging low because, you know, no one was happy with how they played, and, you know, he thought that they would respond well, and everyone said that they've responded well. I think, you know, you can talk all you want about responding well in practice and having good practices, but it's you know, not until you get out onto the field and you get that next game underneath your belt that you're really able to see what happens. And I think a big point is, you know, everyone's been talking about if Seth Alufo, Colorado's starting quarterback, is going to play or not. And, I mean, looking at some of the reports, it does look like he's going to play. But Oregon's been very upfront. You know, they just prepare for his offense. You don't really prepare for Seth O himself. So Oregon's, you know, defense looks, you know, they're preaching the same message, gap integrity, you know, just preparing for, you know, your opponent, but, you know, working on yourself. And then I think it's going to be interesting to see which Dakota shows up, whether it's, and I mean, obviously, based upon what the defense gives him, but if it's the Dakota that we saw in Nebraska that's running the ball a lot more, or if it's the guy that was a bit more of a point guard and maybe more of a traditional Oregon quarterback giving it out to the playmakers like we saw against Virginia.
Now, along those lines, Prukop last week, turnover free, 20 carries, though. And I've heard a couple of rumblings. Maybe the receivers are a little frustrated. And to the naked eye, maybe he was too quick to take off. But in speaking with the players all week like you do, any issues perhaps chemistry-wise between the quarterback and his wide receivers?
So there's maybe two angles to this. I asked Matt Lubick if he feels like Dakota has reached good chemistry with the receivers, and he says he feels like he has reached, you know, he has great chemistry with all the receivers, kind of your typical answer. Darren Carrington was very open after the Nebraska game that he was frustrated. You know, last year we saw Darren as that deep threat guy for Vernon Adams game after game after game, and there have been, I think I've counted, four or five overthrown balls to Darren so far this year from Dakota, and you know, one of them actually came in the UC Davis game, and following that game, Dakota said that was the one thing he was going to think about was, you know, not some of those layups that Mark Helfrich would rather him think about, but he was frustrated with some, you know, that ball that he overthrew Darren on. And unfortunately, it happened again at Virginia, and there was it happened twice in Nebraska, once being a wide-open touchdown for Darren, and Darren was very open. He's frustrated, you know. He says it's clear that that they're still trying to figure out their chemistry together, and hopefully that they can get it together soon. None of the wide receivers said that they expected Dakota to run the ball as much as he did against Nebraska, and whether that's, you know, what the defense is giving them, which Morgan always preaches, or if he got nervous, whatnot. I mean, you know, obviously we're not Dakota Prukop, so we don't know exactly what's coming at him. But I think it's going to be interesting to see which Dakota shows up this week, and maybe if there is a little bit more emphasis on the passing game and developing that chemistry, because that has been a big point of emphasis that we've talked about with the guys all week.
Hey, Kristen, obviously a big storyline this week, injuries, left tackle and line anchor Tyler Crosby's huge. So now a fourth redshirt will start up front. You had some one-on-one time with Jake Hansen, the center. What did he say about the impact and maybe fallout of losing a guy like Crosby, who, let's face it, he's an NFL-caliber talent?
Yeah, I mean, Crosby would have, you know, there was rumblings of him being a first-round draft pick. That really hurts him, obviously. You know, he'll come back next year. And he was in very good spirits, tweeting out some like selfies from the hospital bed, like right after he had surgery. So clearly he feels like he's doing fine. As for the four freshmen that they're going to start, Steve Greywood has never had that young of a unit start for him. So, you know, I think he can say he's confident, but you're always a little bit worried. Adding even just one more freshman to the line, but JT Hansen is very confident. And obviously we saw four freshmen play at Nebraska. So it's, you know, it's not like it's a completely new thing. We've seen those four freshmen play together before, and it's Brady Aiello that's coming in and stepping up, and, you know, he played well. So it's, you know, whether or not it's, you know, you get any nerves from your first start, or, you know, whether or not you just get any nerves going into Pac-12 play, I think those are the questions, because with freshmen, you kind of never know. You know, there's always going to be those stumbling points, but they're confident in how they're going up against Colorado. But again, I think this should be noted that this is a much improved Colorado team, so you can't really take anything for chance.
Now, let's talk about your Trojans. A big game tonight at Utah. Palo Alto was a dud. They're in danger of falling to 1-3. What's the buzz from your USC people, you personally, about, I guess, the magnitude of tonight's game in Salt Lake City?
Oh, Steve, being a Giants baseball fan, it's torture, and it always has been, and USC football is right up there with it. I mean, if you want to look up the word shafted in the dictionary, you're going to see a photo of Mac Brown, to be honest. I mean, the whole benching Max Brown thing is a move I do not agree with. I get that there's going to be a sacrificial lamb coming out of, you know, the Stanford game, but benching Max is not the answer. And what I think is interesting is, you know, before Clay Helton was the head coach, and before he was the interim head coach, and before he was the offensive coordinator, he was their quarterback's coach. And he was the quarterback's coach when Max Brown first came in. And I remember having multiple conversations with Clay talking about how, you know, he thought that Max Brown was going to be the next best thing, you know, whenever, you know, he thought he was going to be competing with Cody Kessler every year for that starting job until Cody left. And he said that, you know, and to be honest, you know, and I know Max is a very heady guy. He's has a very, very smart mind. I mean, I think he's getting his master's at USC's business program right now. I mean, he's a smart guy in general. He knows football really well. He's got a great arm. And, you know, I think it kind of comes down to play calling, which is something we've, you know, talked about forever, I feel like, in the last 4 or 5 years with USC. And I think it's obviously tough to see, you know, the guy that was once your position coach bench you. And, you know, Max is, you know, talked a little bit about transferring, and, you know, that, because that just sucks. I mean, the whole situation sucks right now. USC fans are kind of all in turmoil. And, I mean, I was very supportive of Helton taking over. You know, I thought, you know, talking with him, he's a very hard-nosed kind of football coach, and I think that's what the SB program needed. If you want to go back to when Pete Carroll was first hired, he wasn't all Hollywood. He was just a hard-nosed football coach that wanted his players to play hard-nosed football. But unfortunately, I feel like this is more just turning into another offshoot of, you know, the Carroll Kiffin era, and it's, you know, it's not good. So, you know, I think obviously USC fans are already calling for Helton's head. They have been for a long time, you know, even since game one. So what happens at the end of the season, I don't know. It's USC, and anything can happen, to be honest.
You sound distressed.
Yeah.
Long-winded
way of saying I'm distressed, yeah.
Let's wrap with this. Obviously, Oregon in town. What could we expect to see from you and the KEZI crew starting tonight through this huge sports weekend?
Yeah, a lot of great high school football tonight. And if you guys are going out to high school football, I will put on my faux meteorologist hat for a second. It is going to be raining. So bring sweaters, bring jackets, bring raincoats. It's going to be our first kind of Friday night lights with the rain, which should be fun, kind of typical Oregon. And then tomorrow should be a lot of fun. Again, meteorologist out. It's supposed to be high of 75 degrees and sunny, so enjoy that. No, but I'll be out at high school football tonight, Oregon all day tomorrow, and then you can tune into KEZI at 4:00 and 8:30 for college football game day and game night. So it's going to be another great weekend, Steve.
All right, channel 709 in high def on my Comcast Xfinity at Kristen E. Rogers on Twitter, KEZI.com. KR, always fun. Stay dry. Have fun. And I will see you tomorrow.
Sounds great. See you then, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.